this month, Governor Lamont announced he named Susan Hamilton to serve as interim commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Children and Families, also known as DCF, succeeding Commissioner Jody Hill Lilly, who previously announced retirement from state service, and it became effective on Labor Day. Now, when it says she previously announced it, try she previously announced it literally weeks ago. In the middle of August, we found out the commissioner was going to be leaving for a national position elsewhere. And yet the timing of this could not be any worse. It was literally days after she had just gotten off of a Zoom call with some lawmakers in our state pressing the investigation and the issues surrounding an alleged captivity case out of Waterbury and a lot of promises that followed from the commissioner. Then we find out she's retiring. Now there's an interim leader. And it's not like DCF is in a really great place just internally to now have leadership questions. So I wanted to talk about this with Senator Jason Perillo, who was one of those lawmakers on that Zoom call in late July. Am I off base here, Senator Perillo? Am I making a bigger thing out of nothing? I just find that this is so suspect that in the midst of this investigation, in the midst of a lot of criticism towards DCF in general, not to mention internally what some people may not know, is a brand new internal system that's being used for all DCF workers created by this commissioner, just launched earlier this year and has brought its own complications, and now she's gone?
Yeah, Melissa, I would say it's suspect, but honestly, I would say it's also not a surprise. We've sort of seen this trend in the administration. When you think about it, massive scandal out at the the state docs, scandals in school funding, and the resignations right in the middle of that. Massive scandals related to inappropriate reimbursement from Medicaid, and the Commissioner of Human Services resigns in the middle of that. So you see these situations where there are problems in agencies, in some cases crime in agencies, and you see officials in those agencies up and leave right away. So, yeah, I mean, it's a problem, but it's hardly a surprise, and that's a sad statement.
Well, and so, okay, so it's not a surprise, but what do we do about that? And when I say that, I mean, you guys were on that Zoom, and this is just talking about the alleged captivity case out of Waterbury, despite, as I mentioned, other issues that have been thrown out there connected back to DCF and some inefficiencies and things that have not gone right. But what do we do now? Because as I mentioned, the commissioner made a lot of promises on that call and certainly, noticed, or I should say noted, that there were things that DCF could continue to improve and do better. But now she's gone.
Yeah, and it was actually interesting. So we did have that call. There were a number of maybe four of us leaders from the committee on that call. And this was maybe a week and a half before the commissioner announced that she was leaving. And she didn't mention anything about that on the call.
She didn't mention she was retiring?
No, it didn't come up. Didn't come up. Not even a hint. Not even a hint that this was coming down the road just a week and a half or 2 weeks later.
Seriously?
That said, I'm serious as a heart attack, Melissa.
Okay.
Serious as a heart attack. But in terms of what does the agency do next, and I've said this from the start, and I think everybody agrees, and you know folks who work at DCF. I know folks who work at DCF. These are good people, quality people. They're doing it for the right reasons. This has never been, in my opinion, a people problem.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a process problem. It's a process problem, though, that's been going on for years and years and years. We've seen, the thing we always pay attention to in this case is, of course, that terrible situation in Waterbury. But it's just the thing that's gotten the most media, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had years and years of terrible audits where, it's been identified that, paperwork hasn't been completed, reporting to police departments hasn't been done. Those are process issues. So when the commissioner leaves in the middle of an effort to improve those processes, it does make you ask, okay, what next? But at the same time, the commissioner's been in office for a while, and these process problems have not gone away. So, I hate to say it, but maybe it is just time for new leadership in the agency to identify these issues, figure out how to fix them, and then execute, because it hasn't happened so far at all.
True, true. And again, we have State Senator Jason Perillo, who's been following certainly the issues of DCF. He sits on the Committee for Children, so this matters to him. What do you think about Susan Hamilton? I know she has a very lengthy background working with DCF. She actually was previously the DCF commissioner from 2007 to 2011 under former Governor Jody Rell. What do you think about her?
Yeah, honestly, I don't really know her, but I'm looking forward to meeting with her. All of us, everybody in the legislature wants to be a part of the solution here. I see myself as a partner in any way that I can be with the commissioner, the new commissioner, and her agency. So I would just encourage her to reach out to the legislature and continue the work that we've already asked for. That's largely transparency. What has gone right? What has gone wrong? If you've identified ways to fix the problems, tell us. Let us know what you need. There may be things the legislature can do, be it passing new legislation, be it giving agency workers more tools to do their job properly. Let us know so we can help and make sure kids in the state of Connecticut are safe.
Well, and do you think to this point, Senator Perillo, with the DCF commissioner, again, the reason I'm a little bit shocked that nothing was said is when you look at where she ended up going, she became the director of the Child Wellbeing Program at the Doris Duke Foundation. This is a nationwide organization. I believe it's right here in New York, but it's a big deal. And to me, I would imagine you don't just get handed a job like that. I would imagine there was, I'm sure, a lengthy process to get that job. So it's a little bit concerning that nothing was said, especially when you're sitting on this Zoom. And it makes me feel like, did that Zoom mean anything at all? Like, to me, there's no way that she probably didn't know she was at least in the running, if not probably taking this position, or that somebody knew. And then to sit on that Zoom, I do worry about if that's going to be fall on deaf ears, if that makes sense.
Well, fair concern. That said, there were legislators on both sides of the aisle on that call. I wish that call had been more open. It had been open to the press and open to the public. It was not. That's a shame. But leaders from the Children's Committee were on that call, myself included. And so we heard the promises made by the agency. We heard the steps that they believe they can take. Regardless of who is running the agency, we are going to hold the agency accountable for the commitments they have made. And if we don't see improvements in process, if we don't see the agency do a better job of identifying children who have fallen off the system and who have gone missing, and these are problems, by the way, I'm not making these problems up. These are problems that have been identified.
Yes.
If the agency doesn't follow up with that, regardless of its leadership, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And we haven't even, done a dive into the new CT kind computer system, which I've been hinting at that, DCF workers have told me directly this was something she created and that it launched, only months ago. And it's brought its own internal issues of adjusting to it. And again, the people who are on the front lines doing this work, it's not the people so much, but sometimes the systems. And to me, she launched this and then left, which is also a concern, quite frankly. But again, I am hoping that things go well. And Susan Hamilton is only an interim. I don't know if she wants this full time. As I mentioned, it feels like she almost came out of retirement to do this. So it could be a quick fix, but I do think we have to keep our eyes on DCF, certainly. We've got State Senator Jason Perillo here, and we're talking about some of the changes at DCF, including earlier this month, the announcement of the retirement, officially in effect on Labor Day, the retirement of the DCF commissioner. And now we have an interim DCF commissioner, Susan Hamilton, who, again, has a very lengthy background working with DCF. In fact, she previously served as DCF commissioner from 2007 to 2011 under former Governor Jody Rell. And as you mentioned, Senator Perillo, I am hoping that she will work with lawmakers, continue staying on track with what happened in Waterbury and just some of the other things we've heard about with DCF. This new CT kind computer system, I just want to tell you, because I know that you are very vocal and you will press people and you don't care how long or how much you have to press people on issues. You'll just do it, which I appreciate. According to DCF workers, this has been a disaster. I just want to let you know that it has been a disaster. It has made their jobs an awful lot harder, which is already a hard job as it is. and it was directly made by this commissioner. And I guess the reason I'm bringing this up to you is it almost reminds me a lot of what we're seeing very locally in Stamford with this new block system that they're having for high schoolers. This, too, was basically created by the superintendent there, who's already announced she's leaving at the end of this school year. And I'm wondering, on a broader spectrum, I understand that people get new jobs. I totally, and I've been in that position before where I signed a 3-year contract with my former television station, and 6 weeks after having my son, I broke that contract and left. I get that things come up. But with that being said, I'm wondering if it's possible to create any kind of legislation that if you are going to do something monumental that impacts thousands of people, I mean, has a real impact, and you decide you're going to leave, that there's like a year window or something of reversing course until we can get a new leader in place. I don't know if that's even plausible, but I was thinking about this a lot ahead of our conversation today.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to think about that a little more, but at the end of the day, you know, there's a vendor involved, and the state has a contract with the vendor. So how do you, I don't know, Melissa, how do you change course on that?
I don't know.
A commissioner is a leader. They take the agency in a specific direction. Now, it's their decision. So the commissioner is bought in, right? Then the commissioner leaves. So now you've got an agency with a computer system that the staff there, the actual folks doing the work, find extraordinarily difficult to use. And you know, the commissioner who made the decision, the owner of that decision, is no longer there.
Right.
So the poor interim commissioner now has to deal with a problem not of her making. But again, this is a trend. You know, you always sort of look for patterns, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk about the administration, and I mentioned it earlier, you know, bribery in the governor's budget office, and there are abrupt resignations. Fraudulent Medicaid submissions, and the commissioner of human services, you know, leaves office abruptly. Now, look, is the governor out there taking bribes and dealing with, you know, fraudulent Medicaid claims? Of course not. The governor's a very wealthy man. He doesn't need anybody's money. But at the end of the day, somebody's got to pay attention. When commissioners are leaving abruptly, when there's fraud and abuse and resignations, you do have to ask yourself, who the heck is paying attention in the administration? It's a trend over and over and over. So, you know, I would hope that this is yet another wake-up call to the governor's administration to say, okay, hey, maybe somebody's got to be watching what's going on here, because quite frankly, I don't see it happening right now.
Well, to your point, Senator Perlow, I do wonder if it's just looked at as, if we make the narrative of we found a new leader, no one's going to pick it up. I've got to be honest. I was shocked that no one reported on this. No one reported on this new interim. And it was almost like this narrative of, oh, she got this new job and this is so great. And don't worry, we've got somebody in the wings who's ready to take it on. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hi, red flag. How is no one else seeing that this is a red flag? Not one news outlet in Connecticut reported on this. And I'm not saying I'm any better than any other journalist. There's a lot that are way better than me in this state. But let me tell you, I was shocked that not one person reported on this last week when she finally retired.
Well, look, I mean, and I'm not just saying this because you're on the call. I mean, you are doing a lot of work on this that a lot of reporters just simply aren't doing. You're covering things that matter, and you know, everybody should be grateful for what you're doing. But to your point, this was treated by the administration, by the governor's office, as just no big deal.
Well, I don't think people are going to, that's just it. I think to your point, they're going to think, well, if Connecticut residents don't think it's a big deal, they're not going to even care. And they're not going to give us a hard time. So that's how we're going to do it. And even the fact that journalists don't see it it's working. Is exactly that point.
I think journalists here in Connecticut, especially around the Capitol, in my personal opinion, I think they've been given the governor a free pass for years. You know, this is not the first problem the administration has had. It's been over and over and over. And, you know, the governor and his team kind of get a free pass. You're doing important work. I appreciate that. Everybody appreciates that. But I am just hopeful that if you and folks like me are not letting these things go, not letting them be ignored, that the administration's going to have to finally step to the plate and say, okay, we've got a problem. We've got a series of problems. And it's a problem of lack of oversight, and we need to fix that. Or else we're just going to see more of these, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. But Senator Perillo, I appreciate people like you having these conversations. I think sounding the alarm, it's so important. And certainly, as I mentioned, if you do hear from the new interim commissioner, please let me know. I would love to know of how that interaction goes and what her thoughts are on all of these things that, again, were kind of put into place by the commissioner and in the things that were spoken about on that Zoom call. I'd love to know if she's on board and willing to continue those conversations moving forward.
Happily. And I wish her the best. When she succeeds, we all succeed.
Yeah. Oh, I totally. I couldn't agree with that more. Senator Perillo, and I thank you again for giving us the time here on WICC. We appreciate it.